Well, our passage that Erica introduced to us, it comes from Mark chapter 7. Let us listen carefully for the word of the Lord. The Pharisees and some legal experts from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. And they saw some of his disciples eating food with unclean hands. You see, they were eating without first ritually purifying their hands through washing. The Pharisees and all the Jews don't eat without first washing their hands carefully. This is a way of observing the rules handed down by the elders. Upon returning from the marketplace, they don't eat without first immersing themselves. Have you ever gone someplace and felt like you just needed a shower? I guess it's something like that. They observe many other rules that have been handed down, such as the washing of cups and jugs and pans and sleeping mats. So the Pharisees and the legal experts asked Jesus, "Why are your disciples not living according to the rules handed down by the elders, but instead eating food with ritually unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you hypocrites. He wrote, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty, since they teach instructions that are mere human words.' You ignore God's commandment while holding on to rules created by humans and handed down to you." Jesus continued, "Clearly, you are experts at rejecting God's commandment in order to establish these rules. For example," that's my insertion, "Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother, and the person who speaks against father or mother will certainly be put to death.' But you say, 'If you tell father or mother, everything I'm expected to contribute to you is Corban, that is a gift I'm giving to God now, then you are no longer required to care for your father or mother. In this way, you do away with God's word in favor of the rules handed down to you, which you pass on to others. And you do lots of other things like that." Then Jesus called the crowd again and said, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. Nothing outside a person can enter and contaminate a person in God's sight. Rather, the things that come out of a person contaminate the person." After leaving the crowd, he entered a house where his disciples asked him about that riddle. He said to them, "Don't you understand either? Don't you know that nothing from the outside that enters a person has the power to contaminate? That's because it doesn't enter into the heart, but into the stomach, and it goes out into the sewer." Can you imagine Jesus saying that? Come on, a little bit. "By saying this, Jesus declared no food could contaminate a person in God's sight. It's what comes out of a person that contaminates someone in God's sight," he said. "It's from the inside, from the human heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual sins, thefts, murders, adultery, greed, evil actions, deceit, unrestrained immorality, envy, insults, arrogance, foolishness. All these evil things come from the inside and contaminate a person in God's sight." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we give thanks for this sacred hour that's set apart in our lives to listen for you speaking into our lives and world. May our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds be opened for what you have to say to us, so that we could turn and be healed. When I was in seminary, I was fortunate enough to travel to Turkey and Istanbul and see some of the religious sites there. And one of the interesting things that we saw at all of the mosques were these hand-washing stations. And as people would go in to pray, they would wash their hands and their feet and their head in order to get themselves ready to go into the worship service. And what was funny is you observed people doing this, you saw some people really going at it, like really just scrubbing their hands and their head, getting their head all wet. And then you saw other people, maybe they were running a little late for prayer, so they would just, and you know, and like run inside. And so it is, I think, with religious rituals, aren't they? I think they can be incredibly important to us at time and draw us into the holy, but maybe at other times they can also be a bit distracting and taking away. And maybe for many of us, both of those things happen at different moments in our lives. And so I want to be clear about this passage that I don't think Jesus is necessarily saying that the rituals that the Pharisees are doing are bad, but I think what he's drawing attention to is that sometimes they can be distracting from the weightier or more important matters going on, and in particular, as he mentions later, the matters of the heart. But this doesn't necessarily mean that external things are unimportant, right? If you were to go to your tax accountant and hand them their documents and your desk looked a bit and their desk looked a little bit like this, would you be a little worried? Yeah. And maybe rightfully so. But I think we also know very well that external things don't always indicate the internal reality and what's going on inside. I think we all have moments, right, where we're a little bit prejudiced or stereotype, and we judge people by maybe what they look like, or say, or sound like. I actually heard something really fascinating in the last year. That did you know that kids that are raised in southern USA are often taught that they need to learn how to talk without their southern accent? Because the rest of American often thinks that that southern drawl, which kind of causes them to speak a little slower, sounds unintelligent. And so they learn how to speak like the rest of Americans so that people won't automatically assume that they're dumb. Isn't that interesting? So often, we have like a million little things like this. And of course, we have our own facades, right? That sometimes we have a certain version of ourselves that we want to project onto others so they think that we know what we're talking about. Or as a pastor, right, I have the danger of making you make sure you think I'm holy and good. Have you ever looked at a younger picture of yourself and said, man, I was so good looking then? We're so surface level, aren't we? How come we don't look at younger picture of ourselves and say, ah, young and dumb. he's got so much to learn, that younger self of ours. And so it is that I think all of us, right, we need to be careful, and it sounds a little cliche part of this sermon, but I think we often need to learn and be reminded that we've got to look beyond the surface level. And of course, as it's Black History Month, it might be important to remember those famous words from Martin Luther King in the I Have a Dream speech, that I have a dream that one day people will be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Indeed. Amen. Oh. The next part of this passage that I think is really important for us to pay attention to is this riddle, then, that Jesus gives. Or he says it's not something from without that can contaminate a person, but something from within. And first part of that parable is the things that without cannot contaminate us. And I think this is an incredible lesson for us to hear once again. Because I don't know all of your stories. I know some of them and only some of them in part. So I don't know all of the places that you've been or the situations you've been involved with or the things that people have said to you or told you. But what's really important in this passage to hear is Jesus affirming a fundamental goodness about you, that there's nothing external that can damage you and make you less good or holy or special. I mean, just think about Jesus' ministry, right? He hung around with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes in the least reputable places in town. And he touched the diseased and the dying and the sick. And clearly, Jesus didn't have this notion that somehow these outside things could make them dirty or unclean or unholy. And so I think for us, too, we need to be reminded that people, no matter how strange or weird, right, or bizarre, maybe even sinful, in the situations that we've been involved in, don't get to tell us who we are. Jesus, if you don't believe me or Jesus, it's often been said that he was a good psychologist. Albert Ellis developed this famous theory, I believe back in the 50s, for use in psychotherapy. And I'm going to just touch on this quickly because I'm going to quickly get out of my wheelhouse here. But I think this is a really important illustration. And Albert Ellis said that there's sort of this ABC theory, that activating events that happen in our life don't immediately determine the consequential emotions that we will have. So for an example, if you get fired from your job, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be bitter and angry and a vengeful person. Now, what Albert Ellis said was that our belief system in the middle helps to filter that. And so again, it isn't those activating events, it's not those outside things that happen to us that get to tell us who we are or who we're going to be. In a theological context, we often call this the Genesis 1 comes before Genesis 3, to which you say, duh. But in Genesis 1, we have this image of the creation, right? God creates, over here on this window, God creates the heaven and the earth, the stars, the seas, the fish, the land, the plants, the human beings, and said, they're good, they're good, they're good, they're very good. Before anything else, you're good. And it's not till Genesis 3 that we get the sin and the shame that comes from the sin. Before any of that, we're fundamentally good. Now, the next part of this passage that, of course, we have to pay attention to, as Jesus says, it is from within that can contaminate the person. You could see from the list, and sorry, this is a little hard to read maybe for the folks in the back, but we have some pews up front if you want to move. If you want to move, sir, that's a shot. But Jesus clearly seems to be maybe playing on the list of the Ten Commandments, but turning them internally, right? That it's from within that the evil intentions arise. What's interesting about what's happening in this situation is that the Pharisees had all of these rituals and rules about washing their hands, and these things helped to determine who was clean and unclean, who was holy and unholy, and who was defiled. But really, what this also meant was who was allowed to participate in community and who wasn't allowed to participate in the community and had to be kept on the outside. And I think what Jesus is inadvertently getting at is he says it's not those ritual hand-washing things that actually get to determine who's clean and unclean and who gets to participate in community and who doesn't. It's actually the things of these, the evil intentions of our hearts gone awry, the arrogance, foolishness, insults, greed, evil actions, murders, adultery, thefts, defeat, deceit, envy, sexual sins, unrestrained immorality, those are the things that keep us from being in relationships with each other and in good community and from being healthy and whole people. So, my brothers and sisters, my siblings in Christ, as we think about Christ's words for us today, may we be reminded that we need to not be so caught up in the external, but look to the internal. And may we know that we are good without a shadow of a doubt, and nothing outside can make us unclean. But may we also be wary of the evil thoughts that might lurk within, that would keep us from being in good relationships and good community with each other, and being healthy and the whole people that God wants us to be. Amen. Amen.